word with you. If you'll recall, last Sunday I told you that a week ago last Wednesday I was getting ready and I was talking to the Lord about this message that I had already started preparing. And as I was talking to the Lord said, save that for next week. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach Sunday? He said, ask Darla if she's got something that she's been waiting on you to give her an opportunity to deliver. And I asked her, and did she not deliver a word from the Lord last Sunday? Now, here's what blows my mind, and I think it's going to blow yours. I started this message 2 weeks ago. And I want you to pay close attention to the scripture if you've been paying any attention to the news headlines yesterday. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Pay close attention to the scripture. I believe that, first of all, you're here for a purpose and a reason today. I believe God has destined for you to be in this room today to hear this word. And I believe this word is to his people today. 1 Kings chapter 20, I'm going to be reading 13 verses out of the New Living Translation. And I'm going to pause and make some comments on the scripture as we go through this today. About that time, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mobilized his army, supported by the chariots and horses of 32 allied kings. They went, watch this, to besiege Samaria, the capital of Israel, and launch attacks against it. Ben-Hadad sent messengers into the city to relay this message to King Ahab of Israel. This is what Ben-Hadad says. Now I want to stop right there and mention that Ben-Hadad was named after his father. His father's name was Hadad. King Hadad was named after the gods, not our God, but after the secular gods of wind and storms. Actually, I believe it was not even the Greek gods. It was the Arabic gods of wind and storm. And his name actually means king of the whirlwinds. So don't forget that. That's what his name actually means. His father was such a brutal man. And now the son, Ben-Hadad, comes and there's some terminology in this scripture where Ben-Hadad says, I'm going to make you like dust. That's what he says. Remember, he's the king of the whirlwinds. And he's saying, I'm a reincarnation of my father and I'm coming to destroy like a whirlwind. This is what Ben-Hadad's messengers said. So let's go on to verse 3. Now I want you to notice the voice of the enemy in your life. Your silver and your gold are mine. And so are your wives and the best of your children. Verse 4. All right, my lord the king, Israel's king replied. Ahab replied that way. I want you to notice there was no resistance. There was no opposition. He was basically saying, you want my family, you want my marriage, you want my business, you want my finances, whatever you want, come for it. It's yours for the taking. Because he goes on to say, all that I have is yours. Verse 5. Soon Ben-Hadad's messengers returned again. You know why they returned again? Because the devil never stops. I said the devil never stops. And once you let him in, he'll take more and more. He comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. He never stops. And if you let him in, he'll keep taking. I promise you. And if you don't learn, listen to me, folks, if you don't learn how to resist the enemy in your life, he'll never flee. He'll keep coming. Soon Ben-Hadad's messengers returned again and said, this is what Ben-Hadad says, I have already demanded that you give me your gold, your silver, your wives, and your children. But about this time tomorrow, I will send my officials to search your palace and the homes of your officials. They will take everything that you consider valuable. Then Ahab summoned all the elders of the land and said to them, look how this man is stirring up trouble. I already agreed with his demand that I give him my wives and my children and my silver and my gold. Thank God for the voice of the elders. I said, thank God for the voice of the elders. The elders spoke up and said, don't give in to any more of his demands. That's what the elders and the people advised. So Ahab told the messengers from Ben-Hadad, say this to my lord the king. I will give you everything you asked for the first time, but I cannot accept this demand, this last demand of yours. So the messengers returned to Ben-Hadad with that response, and then Ben-Hadad sent this message to Ahab. May the gods strike me and even kill me if there remains even enough dust from Samaria to provide even a handful for each of my soldiers. He's saying, I'm going to wipe you off the map. Now I want you to notice in verse 11 how the narrative changes. The king of Israel, which was Ahab, went back, sent back this answer. A warrior putting on his sword for battle should not boast like a warrior who's already won. Ahab's reply reached Ben-Hadad and the other kings as they were drinking in their tents. Prepare to attack, Ben-Hadad commanded his officers. So they prepared to attack the city. Now in my Bible above verse 13 in bold print, it says Ahab's victory over Ben-Hadad. Ahab's victory over Ben-Hadad, verse 13. Then a certain prophet came to the king Ahab of Israel and told him, this is what the Lord says. Is anybody this morning thankful for a word from the Lord? Not what somebody else says. This is what the Lord says. Do you see all of the enemy forces? Today, shout today. Today I will hand them all over to you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I want to preach to you this morning a message that I simply titled The Voice of Victory. And I get up every Sunday morning between 5 and 6 and I read back through my message and I pray and I change things. If the Lord has me change anything, I add, I take away. And I put in parentheses under my title this morning. Because it hit me last night like a ton of bricks. First, prepared prior to and preached the day after Iran launched an attack against Israel. I want to remember that when I go back to this word. I have never been more confident before than I am today to stand before you and tell you I have a word from the Lord for you today. Pray with me and for me before you're seated. Father, thank you once again for your presence and your anointing. God, we thank you for your word that has been read here today. I pray for the next few moments that you would, Lord, decrease me until I am nothing, that your Holy Spirit might be increased within me. I pray, Lord, that you would minimize the distractions and the hindrances, Lord, that would prohibit people from hearing and receiving what you're speaking to your people today. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay, that I would speak your words and that your word would come forth today in the power and the demonstration of your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, you would anoint every ear to hear and every heart to receive what you're speaking to your people today. God, I pray if there's one person here, Lord, that's lost and not ready to meet you and they're listening to the voice of the enemy in their life, I pray, God, that they hear the voice of victory today and they accept Jesus as their Savior. But, Lord, I also pray your people that you have sent into your house today, I believe, God, this word is for them and I pray that they would leave differently than they came today and I pray, God, ultimately they would leave with the voice of victory very alive and active in their life today. And we're going to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in advance for it in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said amen. Now give Jesus some praise and then I'll let you be seated. I've not come with a bad story today. I've come with a good story. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this story because I believe that it's a very powerful lesson for us today. See, you hear a lot in the media today about controlling the narrative, right? You hear it in politics, you hear it in sports, you even hear it in controversies and in crises. Whoever controls the narrative controls the outcome. That's the thought. And that's what the people will believe. If you keep saying it, it doesn't. How many knows in the media, it doesn't matter if it's the truth or not. You just control the narrative and you'll control the outcome. See, in this story, it's like Ben-Hadad, this evil Syrian king and his army, links up with 32 other kings because he had tried to conquer Israel before. You can read it in the scripture again and again and again. It says that he had tried to conquer Israel, but he could not defeat them. How many knows that's not going to change today? Israel's not going to be defeated. But this time was different. Because this time he thought that he had hired 32 different nations and their kings and their armies, and that they were all against one group of farmers, John Martin, one group of farmers known as the Israelites. And it was Because, see, Ben-Hadad knew the power of their God, and he thought, this time, because I've got 32 kings and their armies plus my own army, they don't have a chance. Their back is against the wall. I'm going to destroy them this time. Can I tell you this morning that the reason that you face great resistance in your life is because the devil knows who you are. The devil knows who you are. And the devil knows whose you are. Did you hear me? I know, the devil is afraid of this church. I would be too if I was him. I believe he knows. I believe that demons are very well aware that you're seated right here today. I believe that he's afraid. Because I believe the devil knows in this church you'll find some people that are anointed to pray. In this church you'll find some people that are anointed to lead worship. Can I get a witness? In this church you'll find some people, not just me, that are anointed to preach and teach the word of God. We're anointed to lift Jesus up. We're anointed to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We're anointed today to change the narrative in somebody's life who has accepted addiction and bondage for their destiny. God has anointed us to change the narrative. That's what's happened in Brendan's life. How many days you been clean, Brendan? Going on 8 months clean. We ought to give God some praise. He changed the narrative. See, the enemy's telling lots of folks. I told I had some staff in my vehicle this week, and we were heading back to the church, and I told some of them, and I'm not saying this to brag, so please don't clap on this. I was just telling them, I said, you know, not counting Easter Sunday, the Sundays prior, Rhonda and I have been looking at it, and we're averaging anywhere from 425 to 450 people on a Sunday. But can I tell you that 70% probably of people that are seated in this room today or that are in this building over the course of a weekend, probably 60 to 70% of them are not seasoned Christians that's been on church pews all their lives. If you've gotten in church in the last 5 years, let me see you raise your hand all over this room this morning. Look around. So I know not only is the enemy, see, you get somebody like Brendan, whom the devil has tried to convince him that addiction and bondage was his destiny. You let him find a group of people and a house where the power of God moved upon his life. And a place where he could have went off and after he got saved here and been somewhere in rehab for 6 months to a year. But he went through Holy Ghost 101. Where God turned his life around. And you let somebody like Brendan find that, they'll find other people that need the same thing in their life. But that's not the only lie that the enemy's telling. The enemy tells church folk that been on pews all their life all kinds of lies too. He tells many lies. And as long as you keep letting him come and take and take and take, he'll take your family. He'll take your life. He'll take your dreams. He'll take your aspirations. He'll take your money. He'll take your resources. He'll take it all. And then he'll come, as the scripture said, after everything you consider valuable. He'll come after that. Another translation said, that which is pleasurable and seems good to you and things that you enjoy. And he'll take and take and take and take until even I've seen it. I've been made aware of it recently, until the spirit of suicide is even on God's people. Are you with me this morning? Why do you think some pastors have taken their own lives? Somebody help me preach in here. Listen. That spirit, yes, is of the devil, but it attacks seasoned people who have walked with him all of their lives. That's the enemy's tactic, and that's one of his lies. And he'll tell you there's no reason to have hope. There's no reason to keep believing. That's what the enemy, that's what he wants to do in your life. You see, Ahab had his back against the wall so much that for the nation of Israel, he'd already made his mind up. He was surrendering. He was in the process of negotiating a surrender. And everything the enemy would say to him is, I don't surrender, big boy. I don't coexist with you. If you let me in your life, I come to destroy. Don't ever think that I'm here to be your buddy. Some of y'all made buddies with the devil and you didn't even know it. Don't ever think I'm here to be your buddy. And that's what Ben-Hadad was actually saying. Don't ever think, Ahab, that I'm going to get along. Don't ever think that we're going to coexist. I'm coming. I'm coming to take your children. I'm coming to take your grandchildren. I'm coming to take your wife. I'm after your husband. You think he's cute, but I'm after him. I want to mess him up. I want to mess your family up. I want to mess your life up. I want to mess your physical body up. I want to mess your mind up. I'm not playing games. I'm coming for you. That's what the enemy says. I'm coming for you. You have to see Satan in this story, because his narrative for your life, according to John 10 and 10, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he's after. Somebody sitting here this morning might get uncomfortable for a minute, but I come to tell you, it might be like pleasure for a moment. But ultimately, he's coming for you to steal, kill, and destroy. Folks, that is hell's agenda in this world today. The devil keeps pushing for more and more. I want everything precious in your sight. Whatever's precious to you, I want it. And there was a moment when the elders spoke to Ahab with such authority, and they said, don't consent. What are you doing? He keeps taking and taking, and you keep giving, and you haven't stood up. Now, when I was growing up, my mama used to tell me if I got in a fight, I was in trouble. But if somebody threw the first punch and I didn't fight back, I was in worse trouble. How many knows what I'm talking about? My boy won't be no sissy. They hit you, you lay them out. She was a good godly woman too. I try to put those two together sometimes, and some of that just don't mesh in jail. But anyway, there comes a moment in the narrative of the story that everything changes, because, as I said earlier, if you change the narrative, you'll change the outcome. See, I believe so many of God's people just sit back and they let the enemy attack and attack, and we think we're helpless, and that's just how it goes, and we don't have any say-so, and woe is me. But I've come today to preach to you about when you begin to realize that victory needs a voice in your life. Don't let the enemy do all the trash talking. Don't let the enemy do all the threats and the fear-mongering in your life. Don't let the world, and don't even let other people's opinions even control the narrative in your life. Did you know 116 times in this book Jesus said, but I say unto you. He knew when he came into the world, the devil in the Garden of Eden had captured the narrative, and he was in control, and he said, death. There would have been no death if there hadn't have been that sin. He said, steal. He said, kill. And man just had to go along. But Jesus said, I'm here now. He said, read John 1. I'm here now, and the Word has become flesh, and I'm dwelling among you. The enemy says you're defeated and you don't have a hope and you don't have a future. But I say to you, he's not going to steal, kill, and destroy everything present in your life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is the voice of victory. You have to talk victory. You have to get to that moment. And I love it, because there came that moment when something just snapped in Ahab. Something said, I've surrendered and I've given up all that I'm going to give up. But not today, devil. Anybody ever said that? Not today, devil. And Ben-Hadad said, I'm taking everything you got. And Ahab said, when we started this conversation, I was okay with that. But not today, devil. See, some of you have your back against the wall this morning. The enemy is coming at you, even right now, like a flood, like a whirlwind. And he's promising to reduce you down to ashes and nothing but dust. But I love the power of a good anointed service. Does anybody like that? Because you might even be watching online this morning, and the enemy has said, I want to take your gold, I want to take your silver, I'm going to attack your business, but he's coming for you. He said, I want to take your children. To some of y'all, and your children are under attack. He said, I want to attack your marriage, and some of your marriages are under attack. He says, I want your wife, I want your husband, and it's hitting you on all fronts and every side. And he's saying, I'm going to take the pleasure and the joy out of life, and I'm going to make you so miserable you can't even enjoy life. You won't have peace. I want you biting your nails. I want you negative all the time. My Lord, I could preach a whole message right there. I want you to walk around just hating life and being bitter and being angry and mad and upset at everything and everybody. Everything pleasant in your life, I'm coming for it. That's what the devil said. And that might be how you walked in here today. But I'm here to serve notice on the devil. You done come to the wrong service today. Because the prophet... In this passage of scripture that I read to you, the prophet showed up with a word from the Lord in that text. And can I tell you, that word is still alive and well today in this hour that we're in. And he said, basically, I like what they have. I want it. And something hit Ahab. Something came all over him. You know, there's two kinds of fighters. There's these people like those that... Spiritually speaking, I'm talking about. There's these people that train like those that do mixed martial arts. We got any mixed martial arts people in here? They do karate. They do kung fu. They do all that stuff. And, I mean, they're ready. I mean, they're playing. I used to work with a guy that would go, Hoo-yah! I mean, he was ready. He didn't mean no joke. Somebody came at him, he was ready. People, spiritually speaking, they just go into kung fu mode. How many knows what I'm talking about? And they're ready to go. But then there's those people that don't work out very much. But if you don't watch it, sometimes you'll catch them on the wrong day. And you all know I'm transparent with you, right? I'm one of those people. I don't want to fight you. But there are days that I might have to steer clear of you in order not to fight you. I'm just being transparent. If I let my temper get too riled up, we're going to fight. It's going to go down right wherever we are. I know that's not good when it comes to people because Jesus loved everybody, right? I'm like the t-shirt that says, Jesus loves you and I'm trying. Amen, somebody. Amen. And I do love most people, but if I'm being honest, there are times that I know I have to steer clear in order not to say something that I shouldn't say. But can I tell you this morning, you may say, well, Pastor, that's awful. Pray for me. But can I tell you that that is exactly how we ought to feel and how we ought to react when the devil comes at you for your children, your family, your spouse, your finances, your job, your ministry. There ought to be something click on the inside of you that says, you think you're going to take my children? We're going to throw down right here. We're going to roll around right here. You ain't going to win today. There ought to be a switch that goes off in us. You know why? Because we're not fighting by ourselves. We're fighting with God back up. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting principalities and powers. And the cross done won the battle. The blood done won the battle. Jesus already conquered. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You can do what you want to do in your life, but I don't intend to let hell control the narrative in my life or my family. Or my ministry. You've received a dreaded diagnosis. So now you have a decision. Are you going to let hell control the narrative? Because hell's going to tell you what to say. Hell's going to say, just give up. Just know that you're going to die. Get ready. Just know that there's no hope. And people die. God doesn't heal anymore. And you know so many people that have already died with this. So just give up. Or you can say, devil, you done come too late to threaten me with heaven. And you say, are you crazy, Pastor? What if you die? What if I do? I've been in so many funerals lately, and this past Monday I was in one of a good pastor's wife, good friend, close friend, 62 years old. She went home to be with the Lord. And I thought about that. What if I do die? It's called an early exit to heaven. It's called an early shortcut. Folks, there's worse things in this world than dying, especially for the child of God. Because you know why? Nothing, sickness, disease, nothing can separate me from the love of God. But let me be clear and tell you this. So I will, until my very last breath, I will go out saying, by His stripes, I am healed. And when people call me and ask me to come pray for them, I don't care what kind of condition they're in. I don't care how bad it is. If I'm coming, you need to know this. If I'm coming, I'm going to lay my hands on them. I'm going to anoint with oil. And I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to ask God to heal them. I'm going to quote Scripture. And I'm going to believe that God is going to do until their last breath. I'm going to believe that God is going to do what I'm asking Him to do according to this book. That's what faith is. Listen, you get sick, you don't need to let some people pray for you. I've heard the prayer. Now, Lord, I heard this one time from a minister. And if I'm being honest, I was transparent a few minutes ago. I wanted to punch him in the mouth right there. He was praying and he said, now, Lord, if it be possible. I wanted to be like, phew. If it be possible. You need to remember, this book told us, with man, it might look impossible. Man might tell you it's impossible. But don't you ever forget, with God, all things are possible. Pray the prayer of faith. And then I believe God will either heal them here, or He'll take them to heaven, and that's ultimate healing. But either way, there's no more suffering, and either way, the devil did not win. God is still a healer by His stripes, and you better learn that in your life. You better learn not to let the enemy keep coming and attacking your mind, your body, your family, and you just sit there with no resistance. You control the narrative. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 in the Amplified Version, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit, watch this, and bear the consequences of their words. Watch what you speak. You may be in the storm of your life this morning. You might be ready to just throw up your hands and quit. You're already negotiating the surrender. But the Lord sent me here today to tell you the victory is here. But it needs a voice. See, it wasn't until the king began to use his voice to proclaim victory that the battle started turning. Did you see that in the scripture? These stories are recorded in this book to teach us something. We're supposed to act and react like God shows us in Scripture. And victory did not come until we understand that victory needs your voice. My voice will never be the voice of victory in your life. Victory needs your voice. We should speak the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 said, Paul said, but thanks be to God who always, say always, always, that's all the time, always leads us in triumph, which is victory in Christ, and through us reveals the fragrance of the knowledge of Him, where? In every place. If you're barely hanging on this morning and you're in a bad place, there's nowhere I go that He isn't there. What does that mean, Pastor? Does that mean I won't go through stuff? Does that mean I won't suffer? Does that mean I won't ever go through pain? I won't go through attacks? I won't go through loss? I won't go through anything negative? No, that's not what it means. But listen to what He said. In every place. That means that it doesn't matter where I find myself. It doesn't matter what happens to me and my family or what we go through. God has still promised victory, and we are to put a voice to that victory. Because as I've already said, the cross has already won. The blood has already won. The name of Jesus has already won. And here's what the Bible said, and I'll carry it with me. Jesus is with me no matter what I go through. He'll never leave me. People might leave me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll go with me all the way. Guess what? He has never lost a battle. He has never been defeated. He's my daddy, and I'm his son, and he's protecting me so I don't ever have to worry about losing the battle. When victory starts talking, I believe victory talks like this. Devil, you want to fight? Listen, I was raised in Knox County. Can I get a witness? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I was raised in Knox County. You might beat me, but you're going to know you've been in a fight. I won't fight fair. I believe in equalizers. Can I get a witness? I'm going to hit. I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm going to kick you in places you don't want to be kicked. I might even pull your hair and scratch like a girl. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll fight any way I have to fight. But devil, you hear me. You ain't taking my family. You're not getting my house. You're not getting my ministry. You're not getting my joy, and you're not getting my pleasure. For in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasure. Pleasure forevermore. Somebody needs to realize this morning the crying days are not going to last forever. Pleasure needs to come back. Happiness needs to come back to God's people. Somebody said, well, I'm single and looking, not much happiness here. Change that. Change that narrative. Say, I'm single and I'm looking for Jesus to come. And if he decides to give me a mate while I'm here, that's great. But if he doesn't, I'm happy just like I am. I can go anywhere I want to go, do anything I want to do, eat anything I want to eat. Because, folks, let's just be real honest. The most miserable people that I know are not the single folks. Never had nobody come to me and say, Pastor, I need you to counsel me. I can't live with myself. It's the truth. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, this afternoon now, that somebody needs to give your victory back its voice. Not after you get the ring. Not after you fix the marriage. Not after you get the job or the car or the house. But what about in every place? What about right here? What about right now? What about saying, I'm enjoying? Devil, you're not going to steal my joy because I'm living in the goodness of God. Listen, some of y'all could have been on a ventilator this morning. Some of y'all could be taking chemotherapy, but you're sitting here in the house of God and you're going to tell me you're going to let the devil have your voice? You ought to give God a shout of praise if the goodness of, woo! If the goodness of God is evident in your life. See, it's a mind game. The devil's playing a mind game with you. Let victory start speaking through your mouth. Let joy start speaking through your mouth. Let peace start speaking through your mouth. Let faith. Talk victory. Talk success. Talk blessed. I tell you, I'm going to say it just like I wrote it down. I wrote it. I told him at 9 o'clock. I wrote it. I backtracked it out. Then I typed it again. I walk in favor. I didn't want to sound arrogant, but I'm telling you, I walk in favor. I walk in God's blessing. I walk in His goodness. Do I know that the enemy has got weapons pointed against me? You better believe I do. Do I even know that sometimes He hands them to some of y'all so that you can get a shot off? Hello? But let me tell you what I know. This is why I walk in favor. This is why I walk in blessing. This book tells me no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon. I'm going to control that narrative. And I'll tell you something else. I refuse to preach until the deadheads shout too. Everybody that's got breath ought to give God praise. That's what the psalmist said. And I want to tell you, I feel this thing. It's more than some preacher getting you hyped up. We got enough of that. But when you begin to do what this book says, when you begin to praise Him, even when you're going through suffering and pain and brokenness, let me tell you something, God notices. Some of y'all come in, and when you're on the mountain, we can be having worship, and you can just cut a shine. As they used to say, you remember that term, don't you? Sister Doris Walker used to say that. I could cut me a shine. What's that mean? That means take a Holy Ghost fit. Some of y'all can come in, cut a shine when you're on the mountain. But then when you're going through it, you come in, cross your arms and sit there like a knot on a log. And I want to tell you something, God notices. People notice too. You should probably be aware of that. People notice too, but God notices things people don't notice. I'm going to wrap this up by talking about this. Can I tell you that even nature gives examples? Even nature. I should have had Trevor get me some pictures and took y'all to the zoo this morning, because I'm going to talk about some animals. I want to talk first about elephants. When an elephant fights another male elephant, two male elephants will fight over who gets to breed and have the family, you know, like we used to do in high school. And when an outside elephant comes in and tries to be dominant and take it from the alpha male elephant, the elephant that wins, you know what they do? They blow their trunk. They let out a roar from their trunk or their trumpet, whatever you want to call it. It sounds like a trumpet blowing. He'll just throw his head back after he wins. You know why he does that and blows that sound? Because victory has a voice. Even the lions, when the territorial lions come across the line and they come over and they try to take the alpha male lion's family from him, his little cubs and his little pretty lioness, he fights back and he wins. And you know what happens after he wins? You can hear that lion roaring for miles. Maybe that's why we don't win much. Maybe we don't praise God enough. Even nature teaches us that if you're winning, you ought to make some noise. And you ought to get a little bit of confidence about you, and you ought to act like it. I know Ahab just flipped, and he said to Ben-Hadad, "Don't count your chickens before they hatch, Mr. Hadad. I still have a God who's faithful." Don't put your armor on and act like you've already won before we've even fight. You might want to keep it on and just see what happens. See, I'm not talking about arrogance, because we can get arrogant too. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about when we get some fight in us. Victory has a mouth. Even a rabbit, this one blew my mind. Even a rabbit, when it gets away from a predator, you know, they do something. Look this up later. Don't look it up while I'm preaching, please. But look this up later. But when a rabbit has a victory in their life and they escape, when they escape from a predator, they get somewhere and they jump up and kick in the air, one leg out. You know what it's called? Some of y'all are enjoying that too much. If I do it too many times, I'll fall, so I'll quit right there. It's called a binky. It's called a binky. They do the binky. A little rabbit can get away from a fox, and he can be just like that song that says, "The enemy thought he had me. Jesus said, you are mine." Right? That's what the rabbit does. Y'all are laughing, but some of y'all, God's given you a job. He's given you a house. He's blessed you coming in. He's blessed you going out, and you're still too sophisticated to give God a shout of praise. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or Catholic. I don't care what you are. If God has been good to you, you ought to give God a shout of praise. Woo! Hallelujah! Even nature says that the victor ought to make some noise. The psalmist said, clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. But the best one in nature, the last one I'm going to talk about, is the Impala. We don't have Impalas here, unless they're Chevrolets. Impalas are in South Africa. And they said that when a lion, I love this though, because it's so interesting. When a lion is on the horizon, and they know it, the Impala knows it, and they sense it. They see that lion walking through the tall grass, and he's hungry, and he's on the prowl. And sometimes when the Impalas know that they're about to be attacked, they have this little thing that they do. And it's called, actually it has two different terms. They both mean the same thing. It's called pronking or stotting. And what they actually do is they jump right straight up in the air, right where they are. Just straight up and down as high as they can. It's a strange thing. You can see them. I've watched all this stuff on YouTube videos this week. If y'all was stalking my internet this week, you'd think Pastor's done lost his mind. He's watching animals. He's researching animals, doing crazy stuff. But you can watch it. You see them just jumping up and down. And what I read said that the Impala is known for this characteristic of leaping that constitutes an anti-predatory strategy. It's part of their strategy against the enemy that when they know he's getting ready to attack and destroy them or their family, they'll just start jumping up and down as high as they can. Why? Because what they're really saying to the enemy is, I love this. They're saying, if you're coming after one that's not going to fight, it ain't me. If you're coming after one you think you're going to pounce while I'm down, it ain't me. I'm coming up. And if you're going to catch me, you're going to catch me up here. You're going to catch me out there. I'm not going to lay here and take what you're dishing out, devil. I'm going to fight back. Listen, you can set and do what you want to do in your life when the enemy's attacking you, and I know that he's attacking some of you. You can set and do what you want to do in your life, but me, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to fight. If you're going to come against me, devil, I know how to praise. If you're going to come against me, I know how to pray. I know how to call on my best friend, Jesus, the friend that sticks closer than a brother. I know how to stand on the word of God. I know how to bind devils and loose victory in the name of Jesus. I'm not just going to lay down and take it. But I want to tell you this morning, if I were the devil, and I don't think I am, some days Angie would tell you, maybe I am. But if I were the devil, I'd pick on some of you. Jamie said, well, that's mean. I would. I'd pick on some of you. Why? Because you're never giving him a run for his money. You were like Ahab in the first conversation. Whatever you want, you can have it. Here it is. I'm tired of fighting. I give up, take it. Whatever you want, take it. That's not. Everybody say the voice of victory. That's not the voice of victory. I'm closing with this. Look how big this voice is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 54. Paul said, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we should all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the devil will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, say death, is swallowed, say swallowed. Swallowed up in victory. I want you to notice the word this morning, and somebody tell me if you say, I don't need to give victory a voice, ain't nothing has to leave my mouth, you tell me, how can you swallow? How can you swallow? The only way you can swallow is with your mouth. Death is swallowed up in victory. I said, death is swallowed up in victory. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say some of y'all need to rear your head back, rear your shoulders back, take a deep swallow and say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I've got the victory in my life because of Jesus. As they come to the music this morning, listen, when your team is winning, and I know some of y'all got kids in sports, and some of y'all that'll watch online later do too. That's why you're not here. Amen. Whenever your team is winning, you ought to be the loudest team. You ought to be the loudest team. Anybody ever been in Rupp Arena? We're going Catholic now. We've hired the Pope. I'm just kidding. Some of y'all didn't even get that. Have you ever been in Rupp Arena? When the cats are rallying, it's electric. I mean, it's electrifying. Any team that's playing against us, they'll use every timeout they've got to shut us up. Y'all been letting the devil save his timeouts. I said, y'all been letting the devil save his timeouts. You're not giving him any reason. And I promise I'm closing with this. You got to talk victory. You got to walk into the battle with the Word of God. And I have to say this, especially with what happened yesterday, because I already had this in my sermon last week. The only thing I added to it was what happened yesterday. But even Jesus, when he comes back after the rapture takes place, the Word tells us, I had this in there last week, the nation of Israel will be surrounded. And this book says, if you follow Bible prophecy, if you don't, I'm going to fill you in this morning. This book says that nations will turn against Israel. Folks, we are seeing that right before our eyes. We have people in our government. Just a few weeks ago, the leader of the Senate stood up and gave a speech, and he said that we needed to consider cutting off all support of Israel until they do what we think they should do, or until they do what many in the world think they should do and not defend them. And then you saw what happened yesterday as Iran launched an attack on Israel. You know what's going on in Israel? They're still fighting that Ben-Hadad spirit. It's exactly what it is. The devil thinks he's coming for him, but I tell you what, you better stand for Israel. Because God stands with those who stand for Israel. But the Bible says it's one of the prophecies that every nation in the world will turn their back on Israel. And in that moment, Jesus Christ will get on a white horse and he'll ride down into the valley of Megiddo where the armies look like they're going to win. And look, you got to get this. You know what the Word says? The Word says when he rides down into that valley of Megiddo, he'll open his mouth. Did you know that? When all those armies look like and think that they're going to win, he'll open his mouth. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said that a sword will come out of his mouth. Whew. And it will consume the Antichrist. And it will consume the false prophets. And it will consume the beast. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Is anybody getting this morning? Death will be swallowed up in victory. Somebody needs to give victory back your voice this morning. If you'll stand with me all over the room. Here's what I pray today. I pray that there would be a holy losing it. That's what I want to call it. A holy losing it. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about, again, there's that trained fighter, and then there's those people like Ahab who lose it in the moment, and something just takes over. And I tell you, part of the battle that we're in is when you decide to give victory your voice in your situation. So how do I give it a voice, Pastor? Well, first of all, number one, walk out of here knowing Jesus is with me. If you're his, walk out of here knowing Jesus is with you. He'll never leave you. There's nothing that'll ever make him want to leave you. He's going to be with you. If you make your bed in hell, he's coming after you. Are you with me? Walk out of here knowing that Jesus is with you and that's not going to change. Are you promising that everything's going to look better and be different? No, I'm promising you that whatever pack of lines is on your track, you've got a line inside of you. and you need to release that roar. Whatever fiery furnace you have to walk through, you're going to find Jesus right in the middle of there, because he's going to be with you. And number two, my Bible says that you should walk out and change the narrative by saying all things. Say all things. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, I don't know how Caitlin can take flour, sugar, salt, baking powder, and eggs and make delicious cupcakes or cake. Because if I try to put all that together, it probably wouldn't be that good. But can I tell you this morning that in your life, you're not seeing the bigger picture yet. When Caitlin takes those ingredients and she works it all together, it makes the lightest, fluffiest, best taken, tasting cake you've ever eaten. I've just talked myself into another Reese one. Put that on your list. Right now in your life, you might just be tasting the baking soda. Anybody ever took a big swig of baking soda? Don't try it. You might just be tasting the salt, or you might be tasting the flour just like it is. But you're not realizing, and you're not speaking it. Am I telling you have to understand everything you're going through? Absolutely not. But you have to trust that all things, are going to work together for your good. And you need to speak to the devil and say, devil, you might think you've got the upper hand, but when God gets through putting this together, I'm going to come back to remind you that all things work together for the good. But some of you have to decide to change the narrative. You were supposed to be here today. You were supposed to hear this message today. And now you have to make a decision if you're going to change the narrative today. I can't give your victory its voice. The only person that can is you. Because when you leave this room, I can promise you there's a lion circling, or a pack of lions. And they're looking for the weak. But you need to jump right straight up and down and tell them, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't lay down and take it. Don't lay down and take it. Heed the word of the elders. Don't you give him any.